You're listening to an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ in Brooklyn, preaching God's word to New York's biggest borough.
As you can see, our title is Thriving in the Spirit. In Long Island, we've been having the theme of Thrive as we kind of gear up for this summer conference, which I hope many of you can go to. And we've been trying to focus on what it means to live a thriving life. Thriving in the Spirit is what we're going to talk about today. Not just getting through life, but thriving. Thriving in our life. You know, to thrive, it means to prosper, to grow vigorously, to be healthy, to be flourishing. That's the kind of life we want. That's the kind of church that we want. And you know, as I've thought about fatherhood and experienced that for just a minute, you know, compared to many of you, it's been interesting to kind of evaluate this idea of thriving. There's periods of my day that I'm not thriving. You know, when I say we don't want to just get through life, there's periods of my day where I'm just getting through it. You know, Logan at times will wake up 5 o'clock in the morning, 5:30 in the morning, and he's just ready to go. You know, he's yelling for daddy in his crib and mommy in his crib, and it's time to get up. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not the most energetic in the morning. I'm not the most, you know, engaging with him in the morning, but I kind of stumble to the crib, pick him up, change his diaper, bring him out to the living room, and I'm kind of in and out of consciousness for the next, you know, 2 hours or so. That's kind of how it goes, waiting for the coffee to kick in. I'm just getting through it until the coffee kicks in or mom wakes up. You know, that's kind of we take the turns there, and it helps. But you don't want to live life just getting through it. Can I get an amen on that? We want to live thriving lives, lives that matter. And we're going to talk about David this morning as an example of that. You know, David became a wealthy king, someone who by every measure in the world's eyes was thriving. He did have a prosperous life in that sense. But more importantly, David was a man who contributed to seeing God's people thrive. You see the United Kingdom under David flourishing. A kingdom that was powerful, a kingdom that was growing, that was blessed, a kingdom that people didn't want to mess with. But he was also a man who had a thriving personal spiritual life. You know, David wrote over a third of the Psalms, and the Bible describes him as a man after God's own heart. He lived a thriving spiritual life. Life is spiritual. There's many aspects of life. And sometimes we can tend to focus on just the physical part, just the here and now. You know, if you think back to your oldest memory, I don't know if you have a specific one, or if you can try to just think as far back as you can, I guarantee you don't remember every single aspect of your life at that point. Every detail of what was going on, every, you know, kind of context that was in, and what was significant to you at that time. The truth is, this life is like that. If we can really see with perspective the spiritual life that stretches throughout all eternity, this life is a lot like that moment. When we're in heaven with God, it's going to be a lot like that moment. It's so easy to focus just right here, right now, but really we are spiritual beings living an eternally incredible life with God. And this is how we're to think of our life, a spiritual life. But the truth is, we have to decide which life we're going to invest in. Which life are you going to invest in? David understood that question. He knew that a spirit-filled life was the key to thriving. And that's the truth for us today. The Holy Spirit's an important part. We've got to understand the Spirit. You know, if you're visiting this morning or this is your first time in the Brooklyn region like it is for me, welcome. And maybe you're a little confused about the Holy Spirit. I know for me, when I first came, you know, to start studying the Bible, there was a lot of things that I didn't know. I grew up kind of going to church for the majority of my life, but when I really started to dig into the scriptures and see what the Bible taught, I learned some things about the Holy Spirit. I learned I didn't have the Holy Spirit. I kind of thought, well, doesn't everybody have the Holy Spirit? Or, you know, everybody at least who goes to church has the Holy Spirit, right? That's got to be how it works. That's not how it works. The Bible teaches us that we receive the Holy Spirit when we're baptized with faith and a repentant and changed heart. For Christians with the Holy Spirit, sometimes we can forget what we have. We can forget the incredible gift of the Holy Spirit, of the Almighty God that's in us. And so today we're going to talk about thriving spiritually. There's a difference between being spiritual and religious. In Acts chapter 7, while preaching powerfully, you don't have to turn there, but Stephen is preaching powerfully to the Sanhedrin. Not your Stephen, different Stephen. He's preaching to the Sanhedrin and to the religious Pharisees. And he asks them specifically why they were resisting the Holy Spirit. See, the religious were easily guilty of resisting the Holy Spirit, from truly being spiritual, of what God's Spirit was trying to do in their time. And the question we have to ask ourselves this morning is, are we? Are we resisting the Holy Spirit? Are we out of touch with the Holy Spirit and how it's trying to move in our lives and in our time today as people who are religious in the world's eyes, who do come to church week in and week out and read our Bible and talk about God? We can fall victim to the same thing. Are we in touch like David was? Today we're going to look at the example of David a little bit and see how living by the Spirit enabled him to thrive. You know, there's too many passages to go through every aspect of that, but we're going to look at two of them this morning. And the first one that we're going to talk about is having Spirit-filled prayer. Being a man or a woman of Spirit-filled prayer. That's our first point this morning. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 27. We'll have some of the scriptures up here, but you'll have to work for a few of them. We'll have you turn to a couple of them as well. It says this: in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. You ever not know what to say? You ever just kind of get stuck in one of those moments? Maybe there's a little awkwardness, or maybe it's bigger than that. Maybe it's a little emotional, you know, and just you don't really quite have the words. That can happen in our relationship with God too. You ever not know what to say to God? Lots of things can cause that. Pain can cause that. Feeling overwhelmed by life can cause that. Feeling confused about the life that you can see in front of you. Feeling faithless and just not knowing what to say. This passage is so encouraging because it says God still not only hears you, but actually interprets that for you. Your prayers are Spirit-filled. The Spirit's involved in prayer. It says it intercedes for God's people. The Spirit takes our hearts and God's will and figures out how to get them on the same page. Sometimes when I consider this, you know, and maybe I'll pray for something and I think about this idea later, I think, wow, thank God that that's how it works, because his idea was way better than what I prayed for. Or what I prayed for would have led me down a path I wasn't even seeing coming. You ever have that happen? Thank God the Holy Spirit intercedes in the way that he does. But we need to make an effort to connect to our God all the time, not just when it's easy. Not just when we have the words, or we know what to say, or we know exactly what we think we should want. It's in those moments, the hard moments, that we've got to still decide to prioritize and protect our time devoted to our relationship with God. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, this one's a gimme too. It says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. The Bible describes our relationship with God as just that, a relationship. It's not just for when things are going well, or when you feel like you can articulate, or when you feel like God will accept what you have to offer. I don't have any other relationships like that. Do you? Where it's just kind of you talk when things are great. That's not how relationships work if it's a real one. If you're being honest, if you're really getting anything out of the relationship and being real. Relationships come with all sorts of communication. Prayer should come in all different tones and types, is what the Bible says. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. David was a man of prayer. As I said earlier, a third of the Psalms were his. And there's all kinds of Psalms. There's all kinds of prayers and requests. You see him wrestling with God through many different challenging times, but also many encouraging times. I want to show a picture here I was a student at Boston College for 4 years. Tiffany and I graduated just over 5 years ago now, I guess. And we graduated in May, got married in June, and moved to Long Island in July. So that was a big summer for us. And we've been here, you know, hanging out in New York ever since. But we're originally from Jersey. We went up to school to Boston. I went to Boston College. And these are two guys right here. I don't know if my laser here will work. Okay, good. So this guy right here is your brother in Christ. That's Brian Murray. And Brian Murray was on the defensive line at BC. We studied the Bible with him, and he learned what the scriptures teach about being a disciple of Jesus, and he made Jesus Lord of his life. It was, you know, one of the most incredible conversions and people's lives changed that I've ever seen. But this guy right here, we call him O. He goes by O. And his full name is Okachukwu Okoroha, and if I pronounced that even close, I'm hoping I did. You know, any Nigerians in the house can correct me if they want to. But that's his name. That's why we call him O. That's his name. And we studied the Bible with O. He was on the BC football team as well. He went on to play in the CFL, I believe, up in Canada, and was, you know, went a little further in his football career. But he really was at a point in his life where he had a lot of things he needed to change. And he honestly saw what the scriptures taught and just said, I'm not ready. I don't think I can do this. This is too hard. And he really, you know, remained friendly, but walked away from studying the Bible and from the opportunity to become a Christian. I remember praying prayers for this guy like you wouldn't believe. I mean, just envisioning what his life could be like. This man is so talented, so charismatic, so friendly. I mean, just, he's a joy. He lights up a room when he walks in. You can kind of tell from the picture a little bit. But he's like that. And I just prayed so hard for him. And I was frustrated with God. That, God, why would he see this and decide to walk away? He cares about you to some degree, but he just wasn't ready. I got a text about a month ago, 6 years later, from O. Said, hey, John, I've been going through some stuff. This is O. I've been going through some stuff, and I just realized I got to get close to God. And, you know, I thought about the time that I felt closest to God in my whole life was when me, you, and Brian were studying the Bible together. He said, can we talk? I almost dropped my phone. I was just like, what is this? And we've been studying the Bible on the phone, me, Brian, and O, a couple of times a week for the last probably 3 weeks. And I do believe that he'll make it. Brian is in Cincinnati, O is in Washington, D.C., and I'm in New York, and we're on the phone multiple times a week, studying the Bible, checking in, building his faith, and it's so encouraging. You know, those prayers, I didn't feel like they were working at the time. I didn't feel like they were meaningful at the time, that I really, in some ways, was just venting to God and begging God. And it was discouraging because he wasn't listening, so I thought. The Spirit moves. Even when you don't see God moving in the moment, the Spirit is carrying those prayers to God and tweaking them and working them and making them exactly what they need to be to work them into the will of God. And I'm seeing that fulfilled 6 years later. It's pretty inspiring. You know, but David wasn't a man just with the high points in his life. I think we all know that. Let's look in Psalm 139. I'm sorry, before we go there, this is one you have to turn to. 2 Samuel 12. I was wondering why I wasn't up there. It's because you have to turn to it. 2 Samuel 12. We're going to look there briefly. This is a scenario where David was not at a high point in his life. It was after being caught in adultery, after having a man murdered, essentially, so that he could cover up his sin and marry his wife. And Nathan the prophet confronts him. Chapter 12, verse 15. It says, after Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had born to David, and he became ill. David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted and spent the nights lying in sackcloth on the ground. The elders of his household stood beside him to get him up from the ground, but he refused, and he would not eat any food with them. The Bible says we're to pray on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers. This is a hard moment for David. This was an intense type of prayer. I was at the barber a couple of weeks ago, and my barber is certainly not a spiritual man by any stretch of the imagination, but he was telling me about a trip that he had the weekend before. He went down to the Dominican Republic for a bachelor party, and he was, you know, telling me about the party, and I was kind of trying to, you know, pump the brakes on some of the details, but he was talking about it, and he said he got a call from his wife, and she said, our 7-month-old son, they have two sons, their 7-month-old son was sick with a respiratory infection. And she was terrified. And he told me, he said, John, I'm not a spiritual man. But in that moment, I sprinted down to the beach. I dropped to my knees in the sand. And I just cried out to God. I said, God, you know, I know I don't come to you ever. But I need you to move here. I need you to do something. And he told me, he said, you know, it's a shame that I only go to God when I need him. He realized that as he told me. He knows I'm a minister. I'm sure he probably connected those dots. His son ended up being fine. Amen. You know, our world is often filled with this mindset about prayer. Prayer is something that we do when we need something from God or when we want something from God. And that's the only type of prayer. David was experiencing a little bit of this, but that wasn't his only type of prayer. David needed something from God. He wanted to beg to God, but that wasn't the only way he prayed. You know, I know maybe some of us have been Christians for a long time, and maybe, you know, decades at this point, and you've been striving to be a great disciple, and maybe you're sitting here wondering, why? Come on, are we really talking about prayer? You know, prayer, really? That's we know we need to pray. We know we need to have a relationship with God. But let me just say this. I've been trying to do this Christianity thing for almost 10 years now. It's been about 9.5. And I'll stop preaching about it when I stop needing reminders. That's how I feel. I feel like, you know what? I haven't figured it out. I'm not perfect. I still need to grow in my relationship with God. So we can talk about prayer, right? That's okay? Amen. Okay, good. I just want to make sure we're all right with that. David was on his knees praying to God, talking to God. This was just one more event in his life that he desperately needed to talk to his God about. That was his most important relationship in his life. They talked about everything. All kinds of prayers. This was a radical, faithful, bold prayer. Why? Because God had already told him that kid's gonna die. But David says, I gotta pray. I gotta talk to God about it. Some of us may look at this passage and think, wow, David, he was so blessed to be able to go through that with people. Sometimes, you know, to go through something hard like that, at least you have people around you. You know, that's true. We need relationships. We need people like that to support us, to help us. But who did he feel like he needed to go to first? They were trying, you know, literally trying to pick him up off the ground to get him to come eat with them. What did David do? He stays right there. He says, no, 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 this is where I need to be. I need to go to God. Sometimes we look to people instead of God first. I believe that's a symptom of a shallow relationship with God. We look to people. We lose touch with what this relationship is supposed to be and who our God is and what the Holy Spirit can do through our relationship with him. Maybe we think, I don't know what to say. I'll just cry. You know, I don't have the words. That's okay. Read the Psalms. There's some crazy, raw, unfiltered prayers there, right? David's just pouring out his heart to God. He's working out his heart. He's working through the things he feels. So often we just run to people when God is just waiting and desperately wanting us to come to him with that, with those raw emotions, with those real feelings. And we miss an opportunity to deepen our relationship with God. We're blessed in the church. We have people. We have relationships. Sometimes, though, we can still feel a little alone. You know, David, he was a shepherd. And, you know, he could have felt alone at times. There's probably not a lot of people wandering around out there. A lot of sheep to talk to, but they're probably not going to be great conversation partners, right? They maybe will listen, but they're not giving a ton of advice to David the shepherd out there, you know? Just letting out the occasional baa, maybe. That's probably all he did. But in Psalm 139, David understood this concept, verse 7 through 12. He says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. If you're struggling with this idea of, man, yeah, I'm really not connected with God. If you're hearing this going, my relationship with God, it's not a spirit-filled prayer relationship. You can't escape God. He's not trying to dodge you. He's not trying and wanting you to be away from him. David understood, even if I ran, where am I going to go that God's not? Sometimes we can get trapped in that mindset. Satan can get us down in that mindset that, you know what? It's God, he's given up on me. He doesn't want me anywhere near him. Is God even still with me? Does he still want to listen? One of my favorite parts about being a dad is just realizing this concept about my relationship with God. As I have a son, being able, no matter how crazy the day is or frustrating or stressful it may be, at the end of the day, that's still my son. You know, rocking him, usually Tiffany puts him to bed, but rocking him to sleep in the rocking chair and laying him down in the crib, I'm like, man, what am I thinking? What frustration? What does that matter now? It's like all that just vanishes when you remember this is my son. That's our relationship with God. No matter how much you think you've messed up, God wants the relationship still. You're his child. He wants you. He wants you to be connected through spirit-filled prayers. We're going to keep going to our second and last point. A life led by the Spirit or a spirit led by your life? Let me just make sure that you catch the difference there. Not God's Spirit led by your life, but your spirit, your attitude, your demeanor, the way you look at your life. Do you live a life led by the Spirit? Or do you have a spirit that's led and determined by your life? In Galatians chapter 5 and Romans chapter 8, we see two passages about being led by the Holy Spirit. It says, since we live by the Spirit, this is Galatians 5:25, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says this, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. We have an opportunity to thrive spiritually because the Holy Spirit lives in us. Can I get an amen to that? The Spirit of God lives in you, but we need to let him lead us in our lives. Does the Spirit lead you, or is your spirit led by your life? David lived his life led by the Holy Spirit. Look in Psalm 23. This one you've got to turn to. Unless you've got it memorized. I know this is a very popular one. Psalm 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David says here that God was his shepherd. He understood some things about what it meant to be a shepherd, right? That was his occupation before he became king. David calls God his shepherd. The shepherd leads the sheep. David understood, God, you lead my life. I don't lead my life. You lead my life. As the shepherd, God provides our wants. That's what David says. I lack nothing, right? There's nothing that I want or need. But the most incredible thing about this, I think, is that the Holy Spirit can actually transform us to want the right things to make that true. That's what's incredible. It's not that you just get everything you want when you decide to make the Holy Spirit your shepherd, but that the Holy Spirit actually works on you to make you want the right things so that you are fulfilled, so that you do get fulfilled by your relationship with God. That's what's incredible. You know, David was out in the fields, but man, he was being refined by God in the fields. He was being transformed on the inside to want the right things, and it's why God decided, to let him be king. It's why God called him to be king. As shepherd, the Spirit needs to guide and lead us, but we still need to make a choice to follow the shepherd's instructions. I wanted to share a little bit about some people in my life, some great friends of mine, brothers and sisters of yours, who've made some great decisions as the Holy Spirit has prompted them in their life. I wanted to share about a few of my close friends. This first one right here, this is Brian Dolan. And he's a brother up in the Worcester Church, Worcester, Massachusetts. He was in the Boston campus ministry with us. And, you know, he's a single brother. He works. He's a great-hearted brother. Has no, you know, ministry. He's not like a minister. He doesn't, you know, do any of that. Not any aspirations to do that, really. But there was an opportunity just a couple of weeks ago to be able to serve on a mission field, to be able to go and help out a smaller church. The Worcester Church sent disciples there every year. They send Christians there. And he raised his hand. He said, you know what? I want to go. It was Budapest, Hungary. That's where he went. I believe. I may have that wrong. But it was somewhere over there, you know, somewhere far away on a foreign mission field. Don't quote me on that. He texted me and I could check, but I don't want to do that. He went there for a week, just stopped his life. You know, there was nothing special about the trip, no glory, you know, seeking. It was just, we need some people to help build our ministry. And he said, yeah, I'll go. Sure. And he went over there for a week, just shared his faith the whole week, invited people to church, trying to help people become Christians. That inspires me. I think a lot of us maybe get thoughts like that, but how many of us actually decide to pull the trigger? You know, this is a prompting of the Holy Spirit that he decided to say, okay, yes, I'll let you lead me. And I'll go. He was fired up about it. He was excited. I want to show you another couple that are great friends of ours. This is John and Rachel Buchholz and their son, Ben. And they actually were, John was my Bible talk leader. Rachel was a student at BC with me. They got married. They had a son. And they actually had a son on the mission field. They lead the Milan, Italy church. He was my Bible talk leader, one of my best friends. He's over there. They had, you know, Rachel was pregnant. They had their baby. They could barely speak Italian. You know, they were still learning. Imagine going to the hospital, delivering a baby, not being able to speak the same language. These guys are heroes of mine. The faith that they have to say, amen, there's a need. Absolutely. Let's go for it. This is another couple, Will and Kristen Lambert. Kristen was in the campus ministry in Boston with us. She was great friends with Tiffany. And in our wedding, actually, John was in our wedding too. But they ended up deciding, they got married and heard the call to go to Madrid, Spain. They lead the church in Madrid, Spain. Foreign missionaries, learn Spanish fluently at this point. This is Frank McDonald. Frank was one of my roommates, one of the members of the campus ministry in Boston. We had an apartment off campus. They decided to get married. You know, Agle was a sister from Europe who came over to train in Boston and learn how to be a campus minister. They fell in love, got married, and they heard the call to go to Prague. And they decided to go. They pulled the trigger on the Holy Spirit's prompting. They lead the church in Prague. This is Steve Schnell. Steve just got married a couple of months ago, which is a miracle of the Lord. I don't know how Steve got married, but amen. He's a great brother, but a little rough around the edges, and that's a great sister. No, he's a spiritual man, but he likes to joke around. Steve went to England and was a campus minister in London. He had a great comfortable ministry job in the Boston church, but he heard the call. There's a need for a campus ministry to be built in London, and he went to London, England for a little over a year. They're back now serving together after they got married in the Boston church. Another hero of mine. This is Tom McGurk and his wife, Courtney. They're down in Georgia. They're campus ministers down in Georgia. Tom was another roommate of mine. He went to BU, but we were in we had the same apartment, and we're in a similar training program. All of us really were. And Tom's aspirations were always to be able to preach the word wherever God called him. But now God's calling him to France. They're about to go to build campus ministries in France in just a little bit. Back to Psalm 23. You know, many of us maybe know stories like that from years past, but I just wanted to encourage you. This stuff is happening right now still. People are still responding to the call of the Holy Spirit to go and build churches in places where, man, to show up at church on Sunday and see this crowd, it would just blow their faith away. They're getting full-time ministry staff. It's inspiring. David chose to respond when the Holy Spirit called. To make the Holy Spirit our shepherd, it means listening, but it also means doing what the Holy Spirit says. You know, the old saying's true. You can lead a horse to water. That's right. You can't make it drink. David chose to live a life led by the Spirit and not let his own spirits be led by his life. Think about how he could have done that. You know, talking about Goliath. Think about that. You know, just some Philistine calling out the Israelites, putting God to shame. David could have shrunk back just like the whole rest of the army. David could have let his life influence his spirit in that moment. But instead, he listened to the Spirit of God and he turned the whole tide for the nation. You think about him running in the desert from King Saul, you know, trying to kill him, right? King Saul just, he's the switch flipped and he started throwing spears at David, the Bible says. You know, and I don't really understand. You know, he got the first spear thrown at him, but the Bible says then Saul, you know, threw another one and tried to kill him again. I think, you know, throw a spear at me once, shame on you, but you got to get out of there. You know, David, what are you doing waiting for that second spear? You got to just book it. But he started running away through the desert for the whole rest of his, you know, next couple of years, running from this man who's trying to kill him. You think that would weigh on your spirits a little bit? You think that would make you question God's plan? God, what happened to the oil that was dumped on my head? I thought I was going to be king. You already anointed me. That was the plan. What happened, God? But he didn't let his life dictate his spirit. He decided to let the Spirit lead his life, and he endured. We need to choose. We may feel prompted by the Holy Spirit. Church, if you're up against a Goliath in your life, if you feel like you're running through the desert, fleeing, God's with you. God's plan is not broken. God doesn't, you know, make mistakes. He's not forgetting about you there in the wilderness. You have a choice to make. Whether that hard situation is going to dictate who you are in that moment, or if you're going to listen to the Holy Spirit of God and be a disciple of Jesus and make the decisions that he's calling you to make. We need to choose. You know, as inspiring as those people are and the mission fields are that they have, you've got an incredible mission field here in Brooklyn. The mission field in Brooklyn inspires me. When I look at your map that Phil, I think, has created of all the different Bible talks and all the neighborhoods that you're dreaming about reaching together and planting the gospel in, it's an inspiring mission field. Maybe God's pushing you towards something new in your personal spiritual life. Maybe he's pushing you towards something new in this ministry, a different role he's calling you towards. Maybe in your Bible talk. Maybe he's calling your Bible talk to do something radical. Which Bible talk is going to stand up and say, I'm going to take this neighborhood for Jesus? Which group is going to respond to the Holy Spirit prompting you? Or are you going to ignore it and let that dream sink? We have opportunities every day. And the Holy Spirit prompts us, tugs at our heart to share with our family members, to share with our coworkers, to invite our neighbors to church, to invite people that we see on the train. To resolve conflict, the Holy Spirit tugs on your heart. Can I get an amen there? You hear the Holy Spirit telling you, hey, you need to talk to that brother. You need to talk to that sister. Will you listen? Wives, do you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you through your husband? Got a little quiet there for a minute. Don't worry, I'll flip it on the brothers. Brothers, are you ready to repent and let the Holy Spirit lead you to love your wife? And take care of her and listen to her? To get rid of the sin in your life? To get open? I'm talking to everybody now. Just to be real with each other about your relationship with God and how things are going. You still got to choose to follow the Holy Spirit. David expresses a life that's confident through the valleys, through the dark times. How? Because he chose to be the man he needed to be in the rest of the time. To be led by God during the good times, to go to him all the time, to build a relationship. And so when the hard times came, he made the logical of the two choices. When hard times come, you either run towards God or you run away. David ran towards God during the hard times for comfort. What path you choose during the rest of the time, it causes which way you go in those hard times. Are you living a life led by the Holy Spirit? We had a sister in our ministry, and we're coming to a close here. There was a sister in our ministry who was in her 60s, and she was struck with a very rare degenerative disease. And, you know, eventually it was too hard to take care of her. Her disciple family decided it would be better for her to be in a nursing home to be taken care of. You know, we'd go to visit her often. And in speaking to her, she always just would ask, you know, despite her condition and her situation, she would always ask, "Read me Psalm 23. And I remember every time you start reading it, and before you could even get to the second line, you could have just stopped. Because she's going with the whole thing memorized. She knew where she was on her way to. She made her decisions. She let the Holy Spirit lead her life through the hard times. She had comfort in God. Are you living a life led by the Spirit of God, or is your spirit led by your life? What's your shepherd? David was able to stand confident and comforted through the valleys because of the Spirit of God. As we close, I wanted to just invite you to do a little exercise with me. You can close your eyes if it helps you focus. Don't worry, no one's going to hit you or anything. But if you don't want to close your eyes, that's okay. I want you to try to imagine the perspective of the Holy Spirit throughout time for a minute. So imagine the beginning. Zoom out and up from this room, all the way up, that you're looking down on the universe with God. I know that's probably not how it works, that it's straight up, but let's just go with that for a minute. You're looking at the universe with God there at the beginning. And it says the Spirit hovered over the water. You're just kind of hovering there over the surface of the earth. And then you're watching as the earth is formed. And you see God's people throughout time. They begin to populate the world, right? And you see kind of the faith being built and the line of Abraham being encouraged and built up and God selecting that people. And, you know, there were all different events that went on as the nation was built and rallied together. There was the first king, Saul. And then there's David, as we just talked about, building God's kingdom together. But then it falls apart. You know, as the Holy Spirit, you're a little discouraged in that moment. There was something great there that was going. But now they're carried off into exile. You see God's people going off, not in the way that they need to be. And there's really a whole lot of prophetic silence for a while there. There's not a whole lot that God is doing. But then Jesus comes. Yes, the moment that we waited for, right? We knew this was the plan all along. And now there's Jesus. God's working on the earth. He's helping tons of people. He's healing. He's teaching. He's training people. And then he goes to the cross just like we planned. And it's sad for a minute, but man, then he raises from the dead just like he said he would. And there's his people inspired, on fire for God. They're in Jerusalem. They're preaching the word, and it goes out from Jerusalem. And you're looking as the gospel just kind of lights up the world, all the way around the globe, and it's inspiring, it's exciting, and you're kind of watching as it continues to build over the years. The gospel continues to spread, and then you're there in the hospital room or the place where you were born, and you're looking down at your mother giving birth to you there, and there you come right out of the water, right out of the womb into the world, and you see that soul that you've been waiting for so long. You track through their life, through your life. You see all the events. You see as people, and you kind of dive bomb and nudge a little bit to try to get you on the right path. The Holy Spirit's working. And you see kind of the mistakes maybe that you made along the way, the meandering path. But eventually, yeah, there's the moment where I got met. There's somebody, you know, who reached out to me, the card they gave me, or the invite, the Bible talk I showed up at, the church service I went to. Yeah, I'm clapping. I got the songs down. You know, I'm having a good time. Amen. And then, oh, wow, there's the Bible studies that we had. Man, I was a sinner. I was a wreck. You're looking at yourself. You're hearing the sins you confess. And then you're seeing yourself connect with the gospel for the first time. You're understanding the love of Christ for the first time. You see your heart change. You decide, yes, I want to make Jesus Lord. And now the Holy Spirit, you're just jumping up and down. You're so excited. This is the moment, right? You've been waiting for this soul, for your soul to make this decision. And man, you get to that tub, hopefully it was warm, maybe it was a cold river or an ocean or something, and you get into the waters of baptism. And the person that you're dunked down, they dunk you under the water. And as soon as you start coming up, man, you dive bomb from above. The Holy Spirit starts screaming down like a heat-seeking missile right into your soul as you come up out of the water. And it just binds in that moment with your soul. It pierces through your hard heart and infects your whole body. The Holy Spirit from all eternity is now in you. The moment that it had been waiting for. We have the Holy Spirit of God. This is the Holy Spirit living in us. Let's not ignore it. Let's not resist the Holy Spirit. Let's make the changes that we need to make. And let us, like David, be men and women who thrive in the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast of the New York City Church of Christ in Brooklyn. For more information about our church, visit bkchurch.com.